Check, check, check. All right. I'm Tosh Moore.
I'm Olivia Palaz.
And welcome to this, the 313th episode of The Verbal Mosh, a comic book podcast where we talk about comics and more things, but mostly comics and TV and comics TV.
Isn't that included when you say more things? You don't really need to go into specifics.
Okay. While you are 100% right, we can move away from Rightgate. We can move on to make sure you go to our website, theverbalmosh.com, for all exclusive content. We'll have written reviews. I'll have one of Incredible Hulk number 16.
As your pick of the week.
That's right, because it was the best book that I read. It was really a toss between that and Bob's Burgers from Free Comic Books Day. There's also some other things that we have in Free Comic Book Day, but the thing that I saw that was most pressing was to really get Bob's Burgers out of the way, because, you know, we kind of like Bob's Burgers, the TV show, so.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get to it when we talk about our comics reviews, so.
That's true. Also, theverbalmosh.com, as I already said, all our written reviews, content, and everything else that is up there. You can also listen to past episodes up there as well, but you can also check us out on millennial sites such as Facebook and Twitter, facebook.com/theverbalmosh, @theverbalmosh is our handle on Twitter. Don't forget to leave us an email at theverbalmosh@gmail.com, and our sponsors, as always, the Comics Podcast Network, www.comicspodcast.com, to which we're a proud member of. I'm forgetting something, aren't I? iTunes review? Yeah. iTunes Don't forget to leave us an iTunes review. That's it.
You said our email too?
Oh, yeah, I said the emails. No, that's
us. You always make us seem so old and out of touch when you say, you millennial kids and your websites that you go to.
And your fucking DOS and your Macintosh computers.
You make us seem so old and out of date.
Well, I do have Windows 95, so what can I say?
You bragging?
I have DOS, disk operating system. I still log on to the internet with the AOL free trial disk.
Oh, yeah.
It's 53 hours and 40 of them are spent logging on to the internet, but as long as no one picks up the phone, I'm fine.
Good stuff, good stuff. I'll also have a review on our website because we recently went and saw Avengers Age of Ultron, and I'll have a review of that movie.
Yeah.
You want to talk about it?
No, not at all.
My review, my opinion on the website. You want to give your opinion?
Yeah, here it is. Marvel was like, yo, 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 come see this movie. Oh, it's not a payoff. It's just a setup to phase 3. Fuck you. Give us more money.
I like how you made them sound like, you know, geared toward youth audiences by making them seem kind of urban and hip. Yo, 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 like Roy. Who's not urban or hip?
Oh, what? No, I loved Roy. Why? You can't talk about Roy from The Simpsons. I loved him. I love him.
Yo,
hey, yo. Yo, yo, Mr. S. But we all know what happened to him. He went on to move into an apartment with two foxy ladies. Oh, goodbye, Roy. I want to point out that I did come home last night after working out, and after we had seen Age of Ultron, I tuned into New Simpsons, and the animation is crisp. It's beautiful. But the writing, eh.
Well, also the crispness is due to it being HD, probably.
It looked beautiful.
Yeah.
Very bright.
Yeah, the writing is hit or miss. Most of the time, miss with New Simpsons.
All right. So we already tore down The Simpsons. Let's tear down something else. Let's talk about the comics news this week.
All right.
Fucking Constantine has been canceled. Holy shit. This is bad news twofold because NBC
is
has...
Great news?
No, no. It's all... Wait, it's all...
We don't have to wait for the man anymore.
Fuck that man. And for those of you who are new to the show, we are referring to the final episode of Constantine, where basically John was like, I'm running around New Orleans, and...
It was titled Waiting for the Man.
Yes.
That was the episode title.
And the three girls who were marrying that dude, they were just like, you won't get married to
the man.
Fuck! Someone... Oh, what episode was that we reviewed that episode? Wait.
I don't remember.
Fuck that show. There's two problems with this. One, it's bad news times two. Because one, Constantine has been canceled by NBC. The other bad news is iZombie has been renewed for a second season. So you can have more of a fucking privileged white chick who didn't live her life while she was alive, so she can live it while she's dead. Fuck this show.
And less of a Brit who likes to dabble in magic.
I told you that show should have been on fucking Showtime. They knew 52'd it. They were Karen Berger was right. She wrote an article, I think, or some shit like that, where she was just like, well, they took Constantine from Vertigo, and now they've got him in the DC universe proper, and it's going to be bad because it doesn't represent... It takes anything that made the character popular in the first place and was like, he's got to appeal to a broader audience. That's Dan DiDio talking, everyone. Who is clearly the most useless fucking guy over at DC since fucking Paul Levitz censored everything.
Oh, you should throw in some chuckles if you're imitating Dan DiDio.
Oh. Oh, yeah. He puts pills in Mark.
Dr. Hibbert.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Because that's who Dr. Hibbert is supposed to be like a parody of, I guess, in a way. Oh, fucking, I don't know. I've never met a man more detrimental or one guy trying to get himself so fucking over. Like, I can write a miniseries too. And like, no, don't write a miniseries. You can't write. Fuck you. Stop. Stop. I mean, at least he lets people be a little more creative. Where they can take chances. Unlike when Paul Levitz was in charge of DC. And was just like changing Mark Millar's scripts on the fly for the Authority. I was thinking of that. How some of these people just don't get it. Like, I was like... Oh, shit. Like, on the wall coming over here, I was thinking about when Joe Quesada took over Marvel and he basically raided DC of all its best editors. Like, Axel Alonso, he took from Vertigo and put on Spider-Man. Stuart Moore was the editor at Vertigo. He took to be his replacement over at Marvel Knights. And I don't know what the fuck happened to Stuart Moore, but I know Axel Alonso, he's doing okay for himself. And like Paul Levitz, he kind of drove the business into the ground by, hey, you got a great idea? Well, I didn't come up with it, so we're going to squash it. And then he let guys like Mark Millar go and Frank Quietly.
That's guys, okay, because they're a little slow.
They are indeed slow, but they definitely could have turned sales around at DC at a time when they kind of fucking needed it.
True.
Also, he had that big stance, no big name creators on their ongoing titles, so they would be relegated to like miniseries. I don't know. I think that kind of hurt because it could boost your regular series sales. Like, I love Batman, but fuck.
Yeah.
Not a fan of the Grant Morrison Batman.
I thought it was alright.
Some of it was. No, you know what? When he's writing Dick Grayson as Batman, those first three issues of Batman and Robin,
yeah,
awesome. And then he just said, fuck it. They're still going to pay. The checks keep coming anyway, so I might as well just put anything on the page. Remember that edit fuck up in Batman and Robin number, I think, 7 or 8, where Batwoman was using Batman's dialogue and Batwoman...
she was like, I'm Batman.
Yes, and I was like, wait... I think I read this. I remember I was like,
have an identity crisis.
No, at first I was like, I read it wrong. And then I was like, maybe because Grant Morrison's such a fucking ass backwards writer, maybe it's supposed to be read like that. Because he's, you know, he pretty much, they people like, he's new and innovative when he's just really shit. They're like, yeah, he's shit. Oh, no, he's innovative. That's different. That's different. What was I talking about again? Oh, yeah, Paul Levitz and Dan DiDio. Fucking Dan DiDio. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Here we go. We got these new books that appeal to a broader audience. Oh, that broader audience left in the 90s.
How did we get to talking about it? Because we were talking about iZombie first.
Oh, fucking, yeah. First, they took Constantine into the DC universe proper, and they fucking raped him of anything that was cool. They raped his dignity. And then they were just like...
They're looking around to go to a different channel, as you said.
Yeah, which I don't see happening. Yeah. Like I said, that should have been something more supernatural. On maybe a channel like Showtime, where you don't have the FCC jumping down your throat. And then I wrote about this on the website in my reboots and relaunches column, where I was just like, hey, you don't, when you have shows like Gotham, I've already said it before, I'm just going to say it again, when you have shows like Gotham and shows like The Flash, they need to appeal to a broader audience, not because that's how you get a bigger demographic. I mean, it is, but you also need to justify high ratings so you can sell the ad revenue.
I mean, but it's interesting because you complain about that. You complain about, you know, when they try and reach a broader audience.
No. There's some shows that are fine to reach a broader audience. Like The Flash, that's
like
fine.
Like iZombie tries to reach a broader audience.
No, iZombie doesn't try to reach a broader audience. iZombie fails miserably. The Flash is a perfect example. It is a show that reaches a broader audience because it's got a little bit of everything. And The Flash is, you know, you can reinterpret it. And like I said, I think it's because you got guys like Geoff Johns working so closely who did a really good job of making that. You know, The Flash was once like a C-tier property over at DC. Then you got a guy like Geoff Johns who understood the character. And hey, here's a new way to interpret that. And the TV show does a really good job of that. And that's because you've got Geoff Johns working hand in hand to bring everything from that comic that we all love so much. You know, the blue-collar work ethic of fucking the Twin Cities, of Central City, and forget the other city. Fuck, whatever. But everything
Coastal
that was
City?
No, that's that's where Green Lantern's from.
Oh yeah,
which was cool. They rented it in the show. We'll talk about how awesome this episode of The Flash
was.
Isn't
that where they got their pizza?
Yes, but I'm just saying that they took everything that was cool and translated that to a new generation of friends to make it. You know, just a dated version to make it hip, and you know, people of all ages and economic backgrounds can be like, oh, The Flash, that's great, look at that. But Constantine, which is a very dark show, which is almost like Dexter, can succeed, but guess what? Not when you're trying to appeal to children and be PG-13 about it. Some things just don't work like that. Imagine a horror movie that's PG-13. It's not very much a horror movie, is it? And because they sell this advertising time to...
Well, it could be a horror movie. I mean, you just couldn't be excessive about it, and you'd have to be more creative and innovative about it.
I always felt the best films were PG... not PG, I'm sorry, like R-rated, or at least NC-17, for Christ's sakes. But they have the show, and they've got to tone it down because it's in prime time. So every aspect of Constantine that was kind of cool in the comics, well, and, you know, it gets thrown out the window. Mm-hmm. And by in the case of The Flash, they're reaching a broad audience because they've got a little bit of everything, and it's very slick and sharp writing. With Constantine, they're trying to be everything to everyone, but failing miserably and attracting no one. So I hope Constantine dies a slow death.
Well, it pretty much already did since it's not being picked up for a second season.
By NBC, yeah. Here's the Hannibal season 3. That's going to be good. I hope. I know you don't give a shit. I don't know. You seem to be enjoying it. We were watching it live on NBC, but, you know.
Yeah, and I really disliked the way it ended. I told you that several times. The way it started getting real freaky and real funny, and when it's supposed to be scary.
Black comedy? All right. Well, maybe you're right. Okay, anyway. iZombie, which... is about a privileged millennial.
It's been picked up for a second season, but we're not watching it at all.
No, because the ratings have
been officially dropped it. I mean, we talked about previously we were going to keep watching the first season just to check out the whole first season, but you were just like, screw it.
Yeah, I don't care. I honestly don't give a shit at all. And that's my stance on iZombie. What else? The Marvel Universe is quote-unquote dead.
Do you want to talk about any of the movie previews that we saw? I think Jurassic World looks terrible.
I thought Terminator Genesis looked fucking awesome.
Yeah, that looked pretty
cool. Ant-Man looked fucking awesome.
I liked how seeing Arnold Schwarzenegger all old, but he was still kind of like there kicking butt.
Yeah, because nothing says hip like old dude beating young people up. It'll get the Matlock crowd in for the matinees easy.
Yeah.
Shit, I'm going to see it just for that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, beat up them young people. Mm-hmm. Their cell phones and their hashtags. And they're gelato. Oh, he should kill anyone that says Froyo.
Yeah.
Please, Arnold, please. Froger. And you get your choice of topping. Anyway.
But the topping is cursed.
they don't know the difference. Oh, Spectre, too. I'm really excited for that. The next James Bond film. Saw a poster for it somewhere.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's just Daniel Craig in a black turtleneck with a gun. That'll sell some tickets. Some men and women.
So I think that pretty much covers our news spiel.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So we can move on to our next segment, DC TV. Rocky Master Bruce, there's more than one room in this whole house. It's DC TV.
No longer this week in TV, because now that Marvel's Daredevil is, we finished watching it.
Yeah, Daredevil's fucking awesome. I'm watching it again, actually, in crisp HD on my TV. But I want to say that Daredevil, you know, we already said Daredevil had been renewed for a second season. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had been renewed for a second season. And guess what? We don't care. So is Agent Carter.
That's surprising, too, because I remember I tried watching Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. when it first started airing. And I just thought the special effects were so terrible, and it was just over the top and cheesy looking. And
I remember you told me, like, you were like, oh, it starts Tuesday. I'm like, okay, well, watch it. And, you know, based on your approval, we'll see how it goes. And then you were like, oh, shit, no. So I'm like, maybe you were wrong. So a few weeks later, we were sitting here, and you turned on ABC. And I was like, oh, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And they were on a train or some shit, and that was so slow. I was like, good Lord, I wanted to gouge my face off. So I was like, maybe it's best if we didn't come back to this. But I did see that the ratings were declining. Like, it started off with, like, a very high one and kind of made its way to, like, 0.8. I mean, it was just still a respectable rating, but, like, again, everything that was cool about any of the Marvel movies, they were just like, look, there are regular people just like you. And, like, I don't fucking want to see regular people just like me. I want to see the extraordinary, goddammit.
Yeah, because if it's going to be regular people like you or me, it's any other show that's already on TV.
Yeah, it reminds me of fucking Grey's Anatomy with heroes. Don't do it.
Operating on people.
They could. Don't do it, Doctor Strange. This man needs help. My hands are all messed up. Wah! That's why Doctor Strange couldn't become a. He wasn't a doctor anymore. He was the world's best surgeon. And then he's like, my fingers got messed up, yo. So then he was like, I will find this Cantonese dude or whatever he was, and he's going to fix my fingers. And he's like, I can't fix your fingers, but I can make you magical. And he's like, isn't that how Harry Potter was?
This is turning into a really strange conversation.
Didn't it happen to Harry Potter? He was like...
His fingers were messed up and he was looking for a Cantonese man.
That's what Hagrid was. Wasn't he? He's Asian?
No.
He's just a giant... Oh, yeah.
Like British or Scottish.
So James Bond went to Hogwarts. No.
No. He wasn't magical.
Oh, he's magical on screen. That came out real... Wow, I really... Well, let's talk about Gotham. And this was the episode... Hey.
This was the episode where Fish Mooney came back.
Fuck. Who? You know what? Gotham, Crumb Show. But somewhere along the way, somebody was like, do we have any comedy? We need comedy. Wow, we got Jada Pinkett Smith. And...
Oh, she wasn't that, like, played that big of a comedic role in this episode, I felt like.
No, but the whole show. Like, that. They just jumped the shark. When it was with Gordon, it was great. So let's talk about Gordon.
I mean, I never thought it was all that great to begin with. I thought it was cheesy to begin with. I think the part that's getting really interesting is the Riddler part, because he seems really, really psychotic by this episode.
Oh, I love that. That was my favorite part, when he was just freaking the fuck out.
It was called, was it Every Family? Something about Every Family.
I don't know.
Happiness is Every Family. I don't know. Something.
Happiness is a warm family. Happiness is a family you leave in the middle of the night with a note. No? Okay.
Like all families are the same. Something like that. It was something.
All happy families make cookies and some shit like that. I don't know. This episode, just basically, it was finally Maroni coming after Falcone.
It was everybody, like, everybody's psychotic side showing out. Because Barbara was just like, I'm the one who killed my parents. Now I'm going to kill you.
Oh, Dr. Tompkins.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she got her ass kicked. Fucking Barbara. Can't fight for nothing. Can't even defend herself against one scrawny woman.
Well, I'm pretty sure they're both two scrawny women.
Well, Barbara got beaten up by Dr. Tompkins, and I loved it, because Barbara needed to get her ass kicked at some point.
I know, but, like, they never even addressed what went on afterwards during the rest of the show, which I thought was so weird, because it's like, all right, did they accept the fact that, Barbara was crazy?
She's like, hold me, Jim!
Because they didn't, like, even, you know, Dr. Tompkins didn't say, she admitted to killing her parents. She didn't tell anybody else that. Like, did it happen off screen? Did they, you know, do they now know this and they're going to arrest her, or... You know, did she need to go to Arkham to get some treatment?
They better put that bitch in Arkham in season two, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
I mean, you said it best, like, that's why her son turned out to be a goddamn crazy killer.
Uh-huh.
And I was just like, yeah, you're right. When Ben's McKenzie gonna grow this mustache? Seem more adult. Anyway, in this whole episode is basically Maroni's men coming after Falcone. Where the fuck was Victor Zsasz in all of this to help Falcone? But Gordon is like, he's the best option because he's a complete fuck up and he's a bad guy, but he's the best bad guy we've got. I like that Harvey eventually came around. And then somehow Selina joins up with Fish Mooney and her gang and she gets a haircut. What the fuck was that all about?
Well, I don't know. I thought it looked a little better than her normally, like,
purplish do.
Like little Annie Orphan hairdo.
She looked like Storm circa 1980.
Well, so did Fish Mooney, the way she had her
hair. That's Fish Mooney. She looked like Storm from the old X-Men comics. So eventually Fish has them captured.
They're like trying to figure out who's going to be the top dog, because they've captured...
The Kingpin? Yeah, that Wilson Fisk is in prison?
She's captured Don Falcone, and her and Maroni are going to work as partners, but Maroni completely does not see this way. And he's just like, you know, all right, we're partners, but I'm number one.
Yes, you're just like, yo, shut up.
Hammering on that issue over and over again so that she just couldn't take it anymore. She shot the guy dead right then and there.
Shot right in the head, too.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then, you know, Penguin, he wanted to be the one on top, too. So he was trying to kill Don Falcone. But since, you know, his plans were ruined, he decided to try and shoot everybody up. So you got Marconi's already dead. Falcone pretty much left for his villa in Florida or what have you. And he goes after Fish Mooney and throws her off a building.
Yeah, and like an idiot, I was like, why'd he jump on top of it? He's bleeding. He jumps up on the roof and he's like, I'm the king. I got like, shut
really
up.
It's really stupid because it seems like really easy jump. For somebody to push him off.
Yeah, Butch.
Like, yeah, exactly.
But Butch in his weird conditioning or whatever the hell it was. He was like, he shot both Fish And he shot a penguin.
He couldn't handle it. Yeah, because, you know, Fish was a really close friend, so he wanted to follow her orders. But he had been traumatized and tortured into ordering Penguin, so that he felt compelled to follow both orders.
So I wonder what happens now.
But I love seeing Riddler crack up. Like, he started, like, talking to himself, and he could not stop laughing.
Like, dual personality, yeah. Yeah. Even though it was Crinkle.
I like the part that he just couldn't stop laughing, too.
And he couldn't stop leaving the riddles. He was like, why'd you have to leave the riddle?
Well, it was just the one riddle that he left.
Yeah, but he was upset at himself for leaving it anyway. He knew he shouldn't have, but he just couldn't help. He was compelled to just leave that damn riddle.
Yeah, because that's just part of his psychosis.
Oh, I like how you played it off, though, when she was like, when Miss Crinkle was like, oh, every first letter of each sentence spells out your name. He's like, really? Oh, it does.
What a coincidence.
Yeah, and that was just all he needed. And I was like, that's perfect.
He turned really crazy at the end, so, like, I'm a little worried for Miss Crinkle's safety, because it seems like he's gonna come after her.
She needs to go.
Yeah.
The two-bit hussy. She's like, oh, men who abuse me? I can't wait to get one of those! And then when she's getting beaten up, she's like, why does this keep happening to me? Like, because you're fucking stupid. Maybe she needs to end up with a man who might murder her and chop her into pieces, because if the Riddler's taught us anything, if there's no body, there's no crime. There should be a spinoff.
Yeah.
Where, like, he just does shit like Dexter on Showtime. Or HBO Go, or Now, or whatever.
Another part of the episode, too, was we had little Bruce Wayne who was searching for the mysteries of his father, like some secrets that he was holding on to, and what does he come across?
Oh, the Batcave. I still don't get... that's cool, that's all good and well... No, it really isn't.
It makes no sense. Like, no, why, it doesn't. Why does his father have a cave?
Why is it behind the fucking fireplace?
Yeah. Why does music start playing when you open the secret door?
Because it leads to the secret...
It just seems... It's so obvious for someone to find.
Because it leads to the secret garden. Inside all of us. But not your dead parents.
I like that movie.
They should bring it back on Broadway.
Was it on Broadway?
Yeah, it was, actually. Yeah. Apparently, Neil Patrick Harris was a favorite of his. But away from Neil Patrick Harris and his favorite Broadway musical, The Flash was freaking awesome. They basically relive the day where...
We saw the episode called The Trap. So they're trying to set up a trap for Harrison Wells.
A.K.A. the Reverse Flash. Even though they like...
Hubbard Thon.
Yeah, they're like, we got the real
I like
Harrison
how we're
Wells
finally
here.
Able to pronounce his name now.
Yes, because I was saying something different for many years. Bane. Yeah. Like Bane. Wayne. Kanye.
Yeah, so they confront the fact that Harrison Wells tried to kill Cisco.
In a dream.
Because he thinks that this is a dream that happens, but Barry admits that he already traveled back in time, and this alternate events had happened, and so maybe this is what Cisco is remembering. Even though they don't even get into the facts of why he could be having these memories, and why is he the only one having these memories? Is it because he was the only one who had been murdered? I don't know. And that was some kind of trauma that affected him, so maybe that was it. But so basically, they're gonna set up the whole scene so that Dr. Wells can admit once again that he was the one who killed Nora Barry's mom
and get his dad out of prison. Yeah, but none of that goes any well because Cisco reverse engineers the trap that was supposed to hold any speedster out. It was a hologram. It just turned out to be a goddamn hologram again.
Yeah.
He got him with the same move twice.
Well, no. The second time around, it wasn't a hologram because he used the Everyman. Remember? And that's who they wound up shooting.
He's supposed to keep a speedster out, and they shot him, and then...
Yeah, it didn't work because he wasn't a speedster.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, I forgot all about that. The dude with no face.
Yeah.
No face. Everyman. No nose. He looked like Voldemort. Yeah, that guy. Well, he was released. He was set free.
So you have also... what's his name? Eddie? He was going to propose to Iris.
Oh, yeah. He asked Joe. He's like, hey, do you think you could give me your blessing? He's like, nope. Sorry.
I know.
You freak.
He was still going to go along with it anyways, but the whole moment gets ruined because at this point in time, the Reverse Flash, he already admits to everybody that he's Harrison Wells.
He's not Harrison Wells.
Well, he's not Harrison Wells, but he looks like Harrison Wells.
Yeah.
He's been pretending to be Harrison Wells.
Yeah.
And he comes in and ruins the moment. He's like, we're related.
You're my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. Oh, and Iris is all like, I did some digging about the Flash and everything that happened at Star Labs with the particle reactor going off.
Like, you're a little slow, Iris. You just figured that out.
Well, I mean, her boss was murdered and her boyfriend's being, pulling away.
Well, no, he hasn't, because ever since after he was being charged with all those crimes because of Everyman, she stuck by his side, and so that's why he especially wanted to marry her right then and there.
Let's get down, baby. This is a great episode of The Flash.
But it's not going his way. And also, you have the fact that the revelation since Barry, Caitlin, and Cisco found the room that Harrison Wells was keeping with Gideon, and they saw the newspaper with the Flash missing in action, and they saw that it was from the future. Not only that, but they saw the byline who was written by. It was written by Iris West Allen, which shows
that... They're brother and sister, that's wrong!
Yeah, they get married.
Also, they talked about the costume change, with the white lightning bolt, the white background to the lightning bolt. You're like, oh, that's pretty cool, and it's brighter red. Mm-hmm. So maybe in season two, they're going to change to the more traditional costume. I like how they said Gideon was created by Barry Allen, one, and two. They were about to say founding member of the Just, and before they could say anything else, it was completely cut off.
Yeah.
So nice little bit of information going on here in The Flash.
And it was pretty crazy to think that the entire thing was a whole trap to begin with, because Harrison Wells, Eobard Thawne, had set up security cameras in everyone's jobs and their homes to orchestrate this whole thing.
Man, oh man, that guy's smart.
So he knew that they were onto him from the get-go, and he was just playing it up like he didn't know anything.
The guy is tough to catch. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I wonder where the season ends, where they're probably in the fighting and maybe going back in time and reliving it all over again. I like how Joe had his suspicions about Dr. Wells from the very beginning.
I hated how, like, Iris realized that Barry was a Flash just because she got electric shocked by him. Oh, I was like, it seemed like the most random little thing for her to realize that this was who he was.
Yeah, I didn't care for that either. But now she knows. Now everyone in fucking Central City already knows. He might as well just be like,
he's always ripping off his mask.
It's so hot. Oh, let me deliver the commencement to this new parking lot that's open. I Barry at all. Ah, well, the cat's out of the bag, folks. But The Flash was great, and Gotham was okay. Mm-hmm. Once you take Fish Mooney out of it, it's a pretty damn good crime show.
Oh, Fish Mooney, you know, she turned a new leaf. She kind of got interesting.
I like how Fish Mooney, when they had Penguin captured and Falcone, and she's like, I'm going to kill you, Falcone. Gordon, it'll be short and sweet. Penguin, I'm going to make you die an agonizing death. And Harvey, yeah, we cool. She lets Harvey go. But Harvey did help her escape when she was first trying to get out of Gotham the first time around.
Yeah. I remember when they were making out.
They must have children together. She must have photos of him naked somewhere. Okay, so DC TV is over. We can talk about comics this week. And the first thing we're going to talk about is Secret Wars number 1 by Jonathan Hickman and Issad Rebic. This is Hickman's last Marvel work for a while, so he can go over to Image and make creator-owned money, a.k.a. retirement money.
This Secret Wars is so dumb, and it just, like, it reminds me so much of what's going on over...
This should just be fucking Crisis on Infinite Earths.
And, like, DC, yeah.
Because they're going to streamline their continuity, because they're like, oh, in our Earth, now the Earth from the Ultimate Universe, they're fighting! Whoa!
But it's, like, the same thing that's happening. There's also a dome in this series.
Wasn't there a TV show we were watching with? The Dome.
Yeah. And it's just, like, instead of, like, two cities battling out, it's two Earths battling it out.
Yeah. 616, yeah, 616 and the other Marvel universe, the Ultimate Universe. And then at the end of it, everything just goes white and Mr. Fantastic loses a finger, which he should be able to grow back.
Yeah, so that's how it differs, I guess, the storylines. Here, everything, like, pretty much goes over, ends pretty quickly. I found the story a little hard to follow. I wasn't quite sure what was happening.
I mean, because we had the Ultimate Universe, like, the Ultimate version of Nick Fury, Black Fury, Blurry. And then you had Reed Richards of Our Earth, and you're just like, what the fuck is going on? It is a little difficult to follow. If you weren't reading all the Ultimate books, it was weird. Cyclops showed up.
They didn't really introduce anything. It was like a lot of action already taking place.
Yeah. And Cyclops showed up with the Phoenix Egg, and he's like, I'm Professor Cyclops.
He was super freaky because he was like, this is love.
Yeah, he jumps in the Phoenix Egg, and you're like, what the fuck? I didn't know he had his own nation, Nation X.
Exactly. This whole issue is so weird and random, and we shouldn't read it. It's terrible.
Yeah, it's really all that happened. It was just fucking people got together, worlds died, worlds lived. Marvel kept.
And it was like one world was supposed to survive, but it wasn't even that, because it's just like one ship winds up surviving. The one where Reed Richards is in. And his family doesn't survive. No Sue Storm, no kids. So he's just stuck with a bunch of strangers, and they're going to have to repopulate all the Earths.
Mr. Fantastic and the Black Panther? Ew. That's nasty. Let's talk about something we did enjoy. Let's talk about Bob's Burgers from Free Comic Book Day. from Dynamite. This was so awesome.
This was, because it was a lot like the TV show.
Yeah. I love Tina's erotic friend fiction, yeah. My So-Called Life as a Horse. That was fantastic.
What was the best part of it? I really like the ending where she meets the horse Jimmy Jr.
Ah, he even said it. What's your name? Horse Jimmy Jr. I'm like, damn it.
I liked how his tongue was slightly sticking out. So you could just imagine him speaking with that slight lisp that Jimmy Jr. has.
Exactly. I like Luis's legacy.
Christopher Columbus. That was okay.
No, I thought it was pretty cool. They even had Daryl in this. And regular size Rudy. I was like, wow, that's a treat. Regular size Rudy. What she's writing in the
library book.
The world history book, yeah, the bad puns.
You also have a bunch of excerpts of Bob trying to come up with recipe names, new burger of the days. I love the letter that Linda wrote.
Oh, yeah, the letter.
To, who's it? Ginger?
Oh, Belinda's Burgers about the, oh, the...
About the alternate version of her family.
The drawing was even better. The little doodle. That was the best.
It was so funny. She kept trying to, like, trip it up, like, oh, this alternate version of herself, you know, Belinda, and she'll probably be writing a similar letter, and then, like, all of a sudden she blurts out, turtle! She's like, drats, you probably already thought of that, too.
Guys and Frogs, a musical, had Gene with the frogs, which made me think of The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
A lot of rhyming going on there. Gene just trying to raise a bunch of frogs.
Picture Day was my, I think, was the best. With Luis was just really concerned that everyone getting their picture taken was taken over by aliens.
They were. They were kind of like zombies. They were acting all funny, like their energy was drained. And at the end of the story, it wasn't even like this alien hoopla that happened. It's just like her destroying this guy's camera.
His expensive camera.
Yeah.
But that was the best thing about this issue, because we were just like, oh, it's the, I mean, the art style is close to the TV show. I mean... You can hear the voices. I don't know if you did the voices in your head.
Some of characters. Them.
Some of them. Especially Bob. Bob is the one I think stands out the most.
Oh, not for me.
Really?
No.
I like Bob's voice. It's good.
Like for me, Tina's voice stands out the most. Tina and Linda.
They're all iconic in a way. They're soon on their way to be The Simpsons.
Just those two.
And in 20 seasons, they'll have run their course and we'll all wonder why the fuck the show isn't canceled. Yeah. Beating the dead horse, so to speak. All right, just two more books. Amazing Spider-Man number 18. They blew up Parker Industries. And good, what the fuck? I was tired of seeing that shit.
So they were previously fighting with the Ghost?
Who then at the end of this, once he's beaten up by Spider-Man, he's like, all corporations lie. Like, you fucking idiot, didn't you know that? He's against corporations, but he's not above doing the work for other corporations.
So this had, you know, Peter Parker trying to run around and save everybody while still trying to pretend that he's, you know, not Spider-Man. And Sejani being completely upset at the fact that, you know, he kept this working on Spider-Man's tech, even though he had promised not to do that anymore.
I want to just go out and let me say, if I was running a company that has someone like Sejani there, I'm like, this is the direction we're going in, for better or worse. This is my idea.
Like, he should fire like, Sejani.
Yeah, just fucking go. Like, go anywhere else.
She completely does not agree with his work. She doesn't listen to him. She keeps trying to undermine him.
So what's the point? Yeah, go start your own goddamn company.
Yeah. Like, her and Anna Maria were working on the nanotechs. And Anna Maria in this issue, she, along with one of the other guy, they wind up helping out, borrowing some of the spider outfits to help take down the Ghost.
Can we say this? I was this whole time I was reading Amazing Spider-Man number 18, I was like, you know what? Maybe Peter should get with Anna Maria. She's better than flighty-ass Mary Jane. Like, I need to open my restaurant, Tiger. Sure, she's a midget, but whatever.
Whoever said that was the problem with Anna Maria? I think the problem with her is her attitude.
Oh, like,
it doesn't
bossy?
Mesh well with Peter's attitude.
She's
it worked
so
with Doc Ock because he was a bit more arrogant and stuff like that. And she was able to kind of boss him around and balance his personality more.
He's a boss, so she bossed him, so he... But he.
And now it's just two... They go at each other like they don't connect at all, I think.
Well, she does a really good job of covering for him, better than fucking Mary Jane ever did.
Yeah, so, I mean, they work well as business partners, but I don't think that there can be any romantic relationship.
You don't think so?
That's what I just said.
Ah! You got me. Yeah. Gotcha. Anyway, wait, the backup also had Black Cat getting all her possessions back so she could burn it. And she almost killed Aunt May, and Aunt May is like, Spider-Man, you did a good thing. That was pretty much it.
Wait, did you like this issue?
No, wait. I want to talk about Secret Wars one more time. The only thing I can remember. Wait. Because the thing just wrong. The only thing that I enjoyed about Secret Wars is when all the villains are like, let's go have a drink. Because I was thinking about Amazing Spider-Man and the bar with no name. And Wilson Fisk is like, oh, bad guys, let's show up and have some beer. Because we're bad. Watch the heroes fail. And then fucking Punisher just shows up and was like, you know what? We're all going to die. And I can't take these bullets with me.
Why did you want to mention that?
I just thought it was funny. That's the only thing I liked about Secret War. Zzz.
Okay.
Last book. Thief of Thieves, number 28. Celia's a fucking idiot.
Good gravy. I mean, I'm so glad that she's not going to hold on to that Redmond title any longer.
It lasted all of one issue.
Because I thought it was a terrible idea that she was going to take over Redmond's name.
Yeah,
and
she gets busted anyway.
Yeah, it wasn't going to be interesting at all. I mean, the Redmond character fits with Conrad. And he's going to take it back because he was like, she stole my name. She's ruining my reputation. I got to handle this.
Remember the FBI, the one FBI agent that was like, when they were like, yeah, we don't think that she's really...
Redmond.
He's like, don't say that fucking name.
I know, because every single time they would do that, they had to shell out money. He would get sued. They would get sued.
So he's like, just shut up. No one mention that fucking name. She got caught. It's grand larceny. She's Redmond. This is open and shut case. Fucking just go from there. Don't say anything else. But in a way, everyone's like, oh, you weren't paying her enough. Like, what the fuck? Like, Redmond's like, Jesus Christ, I said, you know, this is it. Everyone got paid.
Yeah, it's done and over with. But she was too greedy and she wanted more. She wanted to continue on with being Redmond and keep picking up jobs. But she couldn't handle the job.
So Redmond's pissed off and Redmond's back from retirement for the second go around. Well, technically the third go around.
Yeah.
Because he got forced out. I forgot why he got forced out in Thieves number one.
Can't recall. Happened so long ago.
Yeah, and the book's been late. But this is great. I like how Celia was when she was being held by the feds and they're asking her questions. So like, what's your name? You don't have any ID on you? She's like, yeah, Miranda. Throws a finger up. Good stuff. But how are they going to get her out of there? Because everyone who worked with Redmond was just like, well, we can't leave her to hang because if she starts snitching on us...
Well, they know she's not going to snitch because of the big fuss she made with Redmond earlier.
Yeah, when everyone thought that he had set them up.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But they're going to have to do something to get her out of there. You never leave a man behind, but...
Well, it's not they. It's Redmond. He's going to handle it by himself. And who knows if he's going to even get her out of there or if he's just going to, like, want to kill her. Or I don't know what he's going
to
want
to
do.
Well, I don't know. He wants to protect his legacy so people know, like, you don't fuck with Redmond. Oh, and he's awesome. But, yeah, I didn't think she'd get caught so quickly. I thought we'd get, like, three issues.
I'm glad she got caught quickly, because I thought she was terrible.
Yeah, well, she's not the master thief that Redmond is, clearly.
She's no main character. She's just a side character.
Secondary, at best. So, that's it for this week's haul. We'll be back next week with another episode, episode 314. I think we'll have Secret Wars number 2 to talk about.
No!
Also, we'll have a written review. You'll have a written review of Avengers Age of Ultron. And I'll write one for Batman... Earth 1, Volume 2, by Jeff Johns and Gary Frank. I was going to let you do it, but I was like, I can see you now. Like, I don't want to write that bullshit. Here's hoping that Batman doesn't jump off a roof and fall into a garbage can yet again.
That sounds like Daredevil.
Well, he actually did something. He was all cut up. He's trying to bring down the Kingpin.
Yeah.
So go to theverbalmonster.com where you can get all of our links to all of our sponsors and Facebook and social networking sites. You know, like Facebook and Twitter. So... Also, theverbalmosh@gmail.com is our email. Don't forget to leave us an iTunes review. And that's it. We'll be back next week. We'll talk more about The Flash. Okay. When you drink so much, you invent the corrupt. You're making pretzels out of me.